Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf. Maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here to make.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
Early 60s, you were probably calling games then.
I was. So, you know, I was calling in my bedroom in Green Bay.
Okay, there you go.
I was 12 years old.
That's how you got your start. 10 o'clock on a Monday night, they're saying, Kevin, go to sleep. Go to sleep.
That's what they do.
No,
they knock on the door and said, okay,
this is my career. Don't crush my dream. That's how it all started, people.
NFL Network analyst.
The first ever regular season game in Ireland.
I want to see the gritty in Irish, okay? What he said he's got
in
something.
Irish.
Yeah, he said
gritty
he's got Irish gritty coming up.
All right. I want to see the gritty in Irish.
In Irish.
Good to know.
Listen. Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Our second with Kurt Warner is sponsored by Plumbers 911, Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUMB-911. It's also brought to you by Great Clips. It's going to be great. Kurt, thanks for joining us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. We are actually live at Stadium Swim at Circa. It's pretty awesome. And Bears fans left Las Vegas very happy with a win. The game wasn't pretty, but it was a win. And I know we talked a little bit about this last week, that you can make more corrections after a win. How did you feel like Caleb played, and where is there still room for him to grow?
I think it was a win. You know, the more I watched it, the more I'm thinking to myself, well, how did they get out of there with a win? But obviously they got a little help from the defensive side or some mistakes by Geno on that side. But, you know, in this league, they're all tough. And the bottom line is finding ways to win. And they found a way to win on the road, which was – was great. I think Caleb continues to do a nice job. I mean, it's not great. It's not fully there yet. But I thought he made a number of plays again, a number of good plays inside the pocket. I thought a couple things that stood out was that, he handled pressure really well. Sometimes when, there were some hot situations and he saw it and got the ball out of his hands very, very quickly. So, I like the fact that, you're not watching it and you're going, oh, he's reverting back to some things you saw before, that every week he's fighting that same battle and doing some really good things. And I think growing within the offense and growing as a quarterback, patient quarterback that can play inside the pocket and go through some reads and stuff. I think there's always room for improvement, missing some throws and some, some reads at times. Maybe getting through it too fast or not seeing something that's right in front of him. But again, I think through four games, you have to be happy with the growth that he's shown and the comfort level that he seems to feel at this point in this offense. And I think it's only going to get better.
Kurt, you've really helped us kind of dial in how we can look at a game from Caleb, because there are a bunch of negative plays that we could reference and talk through. And you mentioned a couple things, and we had just talked about a couple. But there's also a bunch of positives, and each play is its own animal, right? And hopefully you see progress overall. I did see him against a full-on blitz hit Zacchaeus a couple of times on what seemed like a hot read and stay in. How about the Rome touchdown? The touchdown to Rome Odunze on third and 12 when it looked like he knew he was going to get hit maybe and stood in there strong, waited long enough, and completed that ball. That was exciting to see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, those are the big-time throws that you know are in there. But I love the timing of it. I love the fact that he, you know, he let that thing go. You know, I was trying to watch the concept, and I'm not even really sure what the concept was because they had kind of what I call a pepper post on the other side where it's a not a normal post that goes, you know, to the pylon, or I mean to the goalpost, but it goes to the back pylon on the other side. So normally you don't have anything, you know, running high on that side. So I don't know if that was an in. It looked kind of like a skinny post, but regardless, he let that thing go way early, saw the window, like you said, with the pressure coming, and put a perfect throw on Rome for the touchdown. And, you know, obviously those things excite you, not just because it's a great throw, but just the anticipation and the ability to let that go and know what he was looking at. So he could let that go early. And get it out there, whether it would be to take a sack or the window to close. You know, those are things that you really love to see, you know, within the offense is that, hey, he's got some comfort level with some things where maybe we're starting to see some other things come out that we haven't really seen the last couple years, like that anticipation. And, you know, because you guys have watched a lot of football with a lot of quarterbacks, not everybody has that. Not everybody has the ability to kind of see ahead and let things go early, you know, when playing the game. And so that one definitely had anticipation, you know, so maybe that's a glimpse of something that's inside of Caleb that, you know, we'll get to start seeing down the road.
Ben was really honest about a moment towards the end where he says to Caleb, like, you were built for this. This is what you do. And it clearly meant something to Caleb as well. By the time that you're winning Super Bowls, like you're a fully grown quarterback, Kurt, but do you remember anything from really early in your career where during a game, a coach showed real true belief in you getting the job done and not just, it doesn't feel like platitudes. It feels like real support and can help breed some confidence.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, less of a coach in a situation, but a player. I remember that first year in 99 when I took over, and obviously we had great talent on the team, and I think everybody kind of looked at it when I first took over as okay, you know, we'll kind of carry him, and he'll just be kind of a cog in the wheel. And, you know, we all know as the quarterback, at some point you've got to kind of take over and become the guy if a team's really going to be good and an offense is going to be really good. And so we were playing against Detroit. It ended up being the first loss that we had on the season. But we were, you know, down late, and it was kind of the first time, because all the games up to that point, we had kind of blown out our opponent. It was the first time that, you know, I was in a situation where I had to bring our team back and make a drive and was able to drive the team down and put us in the end zone. And just remember Marshall coming over to me, and you know, he actually just kind of pointed to his heart and just kind of, you know, made a point of saying, hey, you know, we all saw that, like, that was your moment to kind of earn the respect of your guys and for us to see what you're all about, and kind of passing the torch going, okay, now it's your team. So that was kind of my moment, even though we ended up losing that game, you know, Detroit came back and scored a touchdown to win. But that was kind of my moment where, you know, I felt like I had the full support of the team, and they understood who I was, and now it was about following me, you know, moving forward. And so I think we all need that as a player, whether that's coming from a coach or coming from your teammates, to kind of say, hey, we see you, you know, we understand what you're all about. Now take us to where we want to go.
You know, Kurt, after the game, as I'm watching him in post game, and we've watched him so much over this year and a quarter or whatever it is, he seemed so proud and pumped and like comfortable in the post game. Like words come quicker and come easier. And some of the words are Ben's. Some of the words are the head coaches.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I mean, this is a young guy. It's like, and he talked about Ben's calmness helping them at halftime. It's like, it seems like this coach is really trying to reach him, and maybe Caleb is open to it. Like, how important is it to be open to letting yourself be molded by somebody?
Yeah, I think it's really important to be vulnerable and to be coachable. You know, you come in as a young guy with high expectations and all the success that you had in college, and you're supposed to be the savior. And, you know, and again, I see it all the time, is that it's almost like they come in and they're supposed to know everything and they're supposed to get it, or they're supposed to at least pretend like they do. And so you see a lot of young guys that, you know, almost kind of like shake people off, and it's kind of like, nah, I'm good. You know, I got this, you know, and kind of that false bravado of, hey, you know, I don't want anybody to think I have a weakness, so I'm going to pretend like I have all the answers. And I think it's a big deal when guys are willing to humble themselves and go, you know what, I don't. And, you know, it kind of appears as if Caleb said, okay, mold me a little bit. And now maybe it was forced, you know, because sometimes I think you got to force it. I got 7 kids. And there's lots of times where they want to shake mom and dad off. And you're like, nope, you know, we're not going to let you shake us off. You know, we're going to help you in this situation so you can learn and grow. And so I think there's a lot of young guys that come in and, you know, they try to pretend like they have it all. And at some point, somebody needs to kind of, you know, take them by, you know, whatever and say, nope, we're going to do it this way. And it sure seemed like Ben did that. But at the same time, the player has to at some point be willing to kind of, you know, throw off that false bravado and go, you're right. I need this. I need help. I'm willing to listen, you know, shape me and mold me. And I just tweeted today that, you know, after having 7 kids for so long, I've come to realize that one of the hardest things for me is when I want to help one of my kids and when I really feel like I have the ability to help them, but they don't want the help. And my wife, you know, recently saw a podcast or read a book, you know, called Let Them. And so she's constantly preaching that to me. Like, if they're not ready and they don't want it, you got to pull back and just let them. Let them do their thing. And, you know, eventually, you know, they're going to see that, you know, they do need help, or they're going to reach out for help or whatever that is. And so I feel like sometimes you got to just go, okay, I'm going to let them fail. I'm going to let them go down their path. Because it doesn't matter how much I offer to help them, if they're not willing to listen to it or to hear it, they're not going to accept it. And I feel it's very much the same, you know, in this field. Like we've talked about it. I make myself available to a bunch of young quarterbacks and nobody ever calls. And it could be because they have other people and other things that can help them. But I think a lot of it is simply this, what I'm talking about. Like, I don't want anybody to know that I don't have the answers. So if I reach out to somebody and ask them for help, then it's going to show people that I don't know. And I look at it like, well, if you don't know, you better know, you better figure it out, or you're not going to be here for long. But I think that's a big part of it. And so sometimes you just got to step back and go, all right, I'm available, but I'm not going to keep pushing this and pushing this, because until you're ready, it's not going to work. And I feel like, you know, Caleb is at that stage where he's ready and he's been pushed and he's been, you know, molded a little bit. And then you talk about the confidence that he seems to be talking with and the freedom. I think now it's kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm getting help and it's working. Like, I'm growing and I'm getting better and this feels good. You know, and instead of trying to pretend like I have all the answers, now I'm getting the answers. And now you put that with my talent, and this is what's showing up on a week-to-week basis, man, that is a freeing thing. And that allows him, I think, to be so much more comfortable in his own skin instead of trying to be something that maybe he's not completely. Now this is allowing him to be himself and to be free. And I think you hear that when he talks. It's not as measured. It's just kind of like, hey, now I can just speak my mind. Now I can just be me. And you love how that, you know, shows up on Sundays.
I love hearing you talk about parenting. And while you're talking about that, I ran across an interview with Mike Shinoda, who's the lead singer of Linkin Park. And he was talking about how he's working with his daughter, and his daughter's playing guitar. And he's like, well, you know, you might want to try this. And the daughter goes, "I get out of here." And then his wife shows the daughter a Linkin Park concert. And the daughter goes, "Who's that?" And the mom goes, "That's your dad in front of 80,000 people. He kind of knows something about performing and getting you ready to perform."
Hey, man, my boy wants to hear nothing about singing from me. I sing, Kurt, and my boy's a real good young musician. He wants nothing. We think you're on it.
We think you're totally on it. It's the old Joe Madden axiom. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a moment in the postgame where Caleb brought up his own body language, how it was bad in years past, or last year. And he said his biggest growth is keeping composure for his guys. Ben brought up the body language in August. And now here's Caleb talking about it comfortably. Like, oh, yeah, I've been working on that. And I think that's been some growth. It's just like... That honesty. One question about what Caleb. A lot of the short throws, he seems to fire without touch sometimes. Like there was an early one, the first three and out, Lawrence, to DeAndre Swift. He's on the move, and he rifles it towards Swift's head, and he couldn't catch it. Just a little touch. Like how do you teach that? How do you teach that to a young quarterback?
Well, I mean, you know, I think a lot of it is just teaching guys how to throw a football and the ability to engage your body to make certain throws. And again, I've worked with a lot of young quarterbacks, and very few of them, in my opinion, really understand how to throw a football. Like they can grab a football and throw it really far or really hard or throw it, you know, well by most people's standards, but they've never been taught how to throw a football. And so I'm a believer that, that power should come from your body and not your arm. And that means the arm should never be firing 100 miles an hour and throwing things hard. But when guys haven't learned how to throw, they throw with their arm. And I think that's one thing we see with Caleb a lot is that, you know, he increases the velocity of his arm when I want him to increase the velocity with his body and allow his arm to be a following piece. And I think that's why a lot of times you're seeing the ball being fired. And, you know, and so it's teaching that, you know, body engagement. You know, I know the play you're talking about, especially on that, like a little check down like that to allow your, you know, arm. I almost say like on those short throws, I almost want to throw it like a dart. And so if you can envision throwing a dart, like you're really only moving your wrist or kind of your forearm to throw it. You know, you're not winding up. Nobody winds up to throw a dart. And so it's the ability to create the power with your body and then just kind of flip the ball, you know, with your wrist and guide it with your hand instead of creating the power. And so that's all, you know, getting used to how to throw a football and working on those little elements. And then I think the other part too is a timing element. When you're late on anything, you know, or if you feel you're late, you throw it harder than you have to, or, you know, than you would if you're on time. So, you know, as you're speeding through your reads and stuff and you get to something, if you feel you're late, boom, ball's going to come out and you're going to throw it really hard because you're not sure what you're seeing. As you get more comfortable with that and as you start to understand the timing elements and you get there a little bit faster, that also gives you the ability mentally to go, oh, I don't have to throw this really hard. I'm not late on this throw, so I don't have to rip it in there. So I think that's just a couple elements that he's going to have to grow into. And the physical one is going to be one that he's going to have to work on a little bit more, you know, so he can take something off it. I mean, that was funny. I talked to my son, who's a quarterback also, about that all the time. And then, you know, I was watching some highlights of myself a couple weeks ago. And, you know, when I was watching some highlights, I'm like, man, I throw the ball soft. You know, that, you know, everything had a little arc on it. And, you know, the bottom line was that it always got where I wanted it to go, but it never looked hard. And that's how I always wanted to play, was I never wanted to feel like I had to throw it hard. I wanted to make it easy on my guys. And so it's that that balance of being able to throw it what I call firm but soft. Firm enough that it always gets there, right? It never dies. It never hangs in the air, but soft enough that you can throw it up and over a guy, or you can make it easy on your guy to adjust and catch. And that's the fine art of playing quarterback. I mean, Drew Brees, you ever see him? You ever remember him throwing a ball hard? No. Impeccable timing, impeccable accuracy, and anticipation allows you to play that way. And I just think that's something that's got to come with time with Caleb.
Kurt, thanks for this. This was delightful. We will talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Great stuff for Kurt Warner.
That's Kurt Warner. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. How about we talk to the people?
Yeah, I just one thing, though. Folks, if you know any young quarterbacks out there,
have them call Kurt Warner. He's here to help.
I don't care who they are. Like, they can be as young as you want. They don't even have to be good quarterbacks. That's not the point. Just any young quarterbacks. Kurt would like to be.
Sometimes guys don't know that they have resources available.
Oh, without a doubt. But I
appreciate him being like, oh, I'm a resource.
Dude, and he's spot on about
yeah,
Caleb.
We at some point when we have a full-length show, yes, we need to bring back, because Kurt kind of gives us a little confirmation bias on how we've viewed Caleb.
Spat a whole bunch of truth.
Yeah.
Right there.
I think he's on it 100%.
Yeah, but like, I'm going to go to the park later, and I'm going to find some kids playing quarterback, and I'm going to give them Kurt's number.
Well, let's get some
don't do
level,
that,
guys. Yeah, like, let's.
First of all, make sure you know how to throw a football.
It's important.
I've seen you pick one up, and just after that, you get stuck after that, which is fine.
Let's just make sure, like we can connect some people. Like, if a Luke Altmaier from Illinois, like, if
there's a great one.
Like, let's connect him with,
yes,
Kurt.
Or this 11-year-old that I see at the park.
No,
on the way to the
not
airport.
Him.
Come on,
not
man.
Him. By the way, huge win for the Illini this weekend.
And the 11-year-old at the park.
I don't know if he
yeah,
won.
Yeah, no, huge win for the Illini.
That was a huge win.
They got Lincoln Riley and some clock management to thank for that.
They sure do, and now they've got themselves right back in the playoff picture. Let's hear from you, the Bears fan. 312-644-6767. If you were at the game, great. If you were just watching it at home and wished you were at the game because there were so many Bears fans there, love to know how you consumed it, how nervous you were, whatever your thoughts are on the Bears. We are open for business. 312-644-6767. We are live at Stadium Swim at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Back after this on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's my first time here in Allegiant, and pretty cool to see the Bears fans travel like they did. You know, it's the appeal of Vegas might have had something to do with it.
Perhaps, but Bears fans travel pretty much anywhere that it might be nice and interesting.
This was the one to circle at the beginning of the season, though. This is like your optimal road trip. And we're going to take some calls in a second, but Lawrence, talking to so many of our friends who've been out here and went to the game yesterday, they said one of their favorite things was to watch all the players leave the field after that blocked field goal, and every single player, every single Bears staffer, jumping up and down, celebrating. Maybe you've seen the video of Caleb going crazy.
With fans.
Yes.
As he's getting ready to walk back through the tunnel.
But that's one of those things you only get if you're at the stadium, is that ability to see the all 22, if you will, of everyone celebrating and walking off in absolute joy. Like that was a really cool description to hear from some people who were gambling and hanging around last night.
Jason Leisure is here. He's in the cabana next to ours. At 4 o'clock, he'll join us with a Bears report. We've got your phone calls right now, though, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Mark in Carroll Stream. Hey, Mark, you're on the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Good afternoon, you guys. How you doing?
We're great, man. Thank you.
So, at halftime, my wife is, hey, take this out on the patio, put it out here. And I'm like, okay, I got 15 minutes. Let me do that. Well, it turned into 20. I'm walking back out on the patio, and I just hear screams through the neighborhood. I mean, to our east, to our south, to our west. I mean, it was like an explosion of cheers. And I'm like, oh, my God, they just did something. And Judy, my wife, is like, stay in the garage. Don't come in until the game's over. Realize they scored a touchdown. But to hear the screams and the cheers in the neighborhood on the touchdown after halftime, that was awesome. And it shows you how much everybody's in 100% on the Bears. It was awesome.
That's really cool that you felt that in the neighborhood. Because I was wondering.
Clearly, he's married to Herb Lawrence. Because that's exactly what Herb. You don't get to come back in here because everything's going well right now.
Yeah, I mean, Herb probably would make an excellent spouse.
Well, he is making an excellent spouse.
But I didn't know he's also married to that guy.
Shout out to Courtney.
Because I didn't know, depending on how quickly it was after halftime, it could have been the Tyreek interception. Because Tyreek had that incredible interception on the first defensive possession.
Yeah, after Ben is done scolding Aditi.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
They're facing off, man.
Yeah. It's got some Popovich in him. But like, and then the first offensive position is the one that ends with that Caleb touchdown to Rome where he stands in there
and
in the pocket,
it.
Man.
So, he absolutely ripped that pass.
So great.
Adam is driving around. Hey, Adam, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Love you guys. Love the show.
Thanks,
Thank
man.
You.
What's on your mind?
I just want – lifelong Bears fan, and I'm just worried that the Bears are too complacent. Every time they have a win, like maybe yesterday or even the week before, okay, they come back the next week and they think that the win from last week counts for the next week. They are too complacent, and I think they need to really get going with their preparation and practice harder because I'm going to say there was a 12th man on the field yesterday, and it was God. God was on the Bears' side yesterday. So
isn't that what you've been waiting for? Yeah, that God be on the side of the Bears?
That's a really good 12th man. You know, that's a really solid addition. Adam, I think you're projecting a great deal. I think you are, you know, I don't believe that they are complacent. I think the NFL, it's funny because we talked about it last week. The NFL is a week-to-week league. Things change quickly, and momentum is real. Home field is real. Remember how bad the Bears were against Detroit? And last week, they beat a bad Dallas team at their place because that's what you're supposed to do in this league. That's how the league works. And then, by the way, last night, Dallas is there hanging right with Green Bay.
Not that defense, though.
No, not that defense. But Dallas is right there hanging because that's the way this league is. The Raiders actually played pretty well in some ways. They played hard.
This is what we talked about on Friday. Like, the idea of they're not what you saw with the Cowboys because of one specific dude. And I'm so glad that we did the deep dive with Olin talking about Max Crosby.
It's a beast, man.
Because you saw it, and you're like, oh, my God, that's what one of those looks like.
It's a game plan wrecker.
Yes.
An absolute game changer. That first half was outrageous. I thought we were headed towards AFC Offensive Player or Defensive Player of the Week.
I still think he might be AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Well, the Bears are a magnet for conference players of the week.
Look what he did. He had, four tackles for loss, a forced fumble, an interception.
Yeah.
Three pass breakups, and then a mountain of pressures. Yeah. Like, the guy is an animal.
He is an animal, and they give him full freedom to do whatever the hell he wants.
As they should. And like when you watch him where he chooses to line up, where he might be wide nine, sometimes he's lining up as a defensive tackle, sometimes he's looping in, they're running games with him because he's so athletic. And then when all else fails, I'm really tall and long, So I'm not getting to the quarterback.
I'll just jump up.
I'll just put my hands up, and now I've knocked down a bunch of passes.
Yeah, man, but it's hard to win on the road. Even when it's 60-40 and your fans are there, it's still hard to win on the road.
100% it is, and that's why you have to give them credit for working their way back into it. I get what Adam's talking about. Like, you don't want there to be complacency.
Yeah, but do you think you're seeing complacency with this badge?
I don't, and I think that yesterday was actually an example of that not being the case. Like, I don't think that they walked in thinking that they were just going to win, and then they won the game. Like, that's a very important part of all critiques. I know that everyone wants to kind of jump to all of the granular stuff, but they won the game. Their season is very live right now, and no, I think guys deserve some time off.
Yeah. It's the season is live. Texter's getting in on the conversation about watching all the players walk off and celebrating, each one of them celebrating. And multiple Texters saying it had the reverse feel of the Commanders walking off after the Hail Mary. Because it's a walk-off blocked field goal.
Yeah.
It's like that does not happen. It's very often.
I wouldn't say it's the Commanders. It's the reverse of the Packers game.
Oh, yeah, because the Packers did it.
Right?
To HT's unit.
Yeah, it's a reverse. We got to do a whole thing.
On HT's unit?
No, on special teams units around the NFL.
And the proliferation of blocked field
goals?
There's
a lot going on. And returns are up, and there's all sorts of stuff. But yeah. I get where Adam's coming from. And I think he's just being a tad severe.
I went to high school with Tad Severe. He was too strident. For my taste, he just wasn't. He wasn't.
That wasn't my experience. He just seemed like he was just a little bit severe to me. Hence the name. Let's go to Ottawa and talk with Brett. Brett, you're on the Spiegel and Holmes show.
What's up, fellas? How we doing? Happy Victory Monday again.
Yeah, man. We're gonna have some chicken in a little bit.
Yeah, you tell Adam. You know, God might have been our side, but thank God we had Josh Blackwell on our side yesterday. All right.
Hey, Josh Blackwell is God, my friend.
Well, you know what? It was kind of like watching Revenge of the Sith. You know, you always think Anakin's not going to turn evil, but he does. Yesterday, he turned good, and the Bears got it done. And with that halftime interview about people giving Ben Johnson a hard time, I mean, you ask silly questions, you're going to get stern answers.
I have a silly question for you. In your metaphor, yes, who is Anakin?
Oh,
all right, God. Thanks for the phone call.
Oh, dear.
All right. Oh,
I'm so glad you handled that.
So I feel like we don't have to say spoiler alert because the analogy was incomplete.
Yeah.
So it's not really a spoiler alert.
There's no spoiler alert needed for that. That is a thing.
Yeah, he whiffed. He whiffed on that
one. He whiffed. We need to take a break. We'll take more of your phone calls, but we did a little bit of an exercise yesterday with all the Bears fans here. I took it upon myself to chart the jerseys that we saw of Bears players and Bears greats. I put together a spreadsheet, Speed.
You're amazing.
I got a spreadsheet of all of the different Bears that I saw, and I think you might be surprised with the frequency of the one that was the most seen.
Number one most seen jersey.
Yeah.
All right, I like it.
And I'll just tell you, there were 28 different Bears jerseys.
We had a dude last night. Well, I was going to blurt one out, but I'll wait. Don't blurt that out.
We can talk about it on the other side. But if you want to throw it in the text or if you're on the Twitch, let us know which jersey you think was the most represented here in Vegas. And I will let you know of the 110 people that I saw.
What?
Which jersey was most prevalent?
Lawrence Holmes, if you don't stop counting jerseys.
That's next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply, in app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I read this before the game today, right? This list.
Yes, we have a list that's been put together. Yesterday, since I was paying attention to what was going on and walking around, it's like, man, there's so many Bears fans here. So I started looking at all the jerseys. Like, man, this is a good potpourri of all the jerseys.
Can I guess some? Because some of the listeners are guessing some as well.
Sure.
Okay. So this is all the jerseys that you saw.
I saw 20. I want to give a time frame. So from the time that we started watching football yesterday, which was 10 a.m. Vegas time. So from the time I watched football to when the Bears kicked off here at Circa, and then I went for a little walk around Fremont Street.
A listener with a great suggestion. How was Lawrence's Bears jersey count not a topic in this week's categories? If you were hosting categories, this would be a hell of a category. Really fun.
Yeah, there are 28 different ones that we saw.
All right, Mark Bortz.
Mark Bortz is not one of them.
Cap Boso.
No, I thought I saw a Cap Boso.
Dane Sanzenbacher.
It was not Dane Sanzenbacher. Okay. Sanzenbacher? Yeah. Probably Sanzenbacher.
No, I'm sure there's a ton of other ones. How about Jay Cutler?
Jay Cutler, yes. And as a matter of fact, I saw some guys here at Stadium Swim on Friday, and they had the orange authentic Cutler jersey, and I was like, what are you guys doing? So we posed with a picture with me holding the jersey, like, what the hell?
Got you.
So that was great. Yeah, there were a couple of Cutlers out here for sure.
Okay. How about Whitey Coathair?
No.
Or Max Rutherford?
Nope, neither one of those guys.
How about Brandon Marshall?
I did not see a Brandon Marshall.
Okay.
Not on the list.
How about Charles Tillman, Peanut Tillman?
Yes, Charles Tillman was a very popular jersey inside of this count that I did.
Okay. Kyle Long.
I did not see a Kyle Long, and I was a little surprised by that, too.
All right, Urlacher.
Yes, Urlacher was very popular.
I figured. Not number one, though.
Not number one.
Okay. How about Singletary?
I did not see a Singletary yesterday.
All right.
There were some of his teammates that were represented.
McMahon.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't guessed it because but Walter Payton.
Walter Payton. A lot of Walter Payton jerseys.
Not number one?
Number one.
He was number one.
Walter Payton is the most jerseys that I saw out of the 28. He had 23. There were 23 Payton jerseys here in and around Circa.
Wow. Our guy Daniel Van Kirk last night was wearing his Walter Payton jacket, his Roots of Fight jacket.
Oh, that jacket is so sweet.
It's
so
awesome. Dope. I sent a picture of him holding it up to Jarrett, and Daniel said that someone offered him $1,000 for it.
That is a great, great jacket. And his buddy Scott Armstrong, who was here last night, Scott, who wrote Old School and Semi-Pro, hanging out with us at Circa last night. He was wearing a Doug Plank jersey last night.
I counted him because it was such a great jersey
so
to see.
So strong. So strong.
Yeah. So for the Plank jersey was amazing. So Payton was first.
Okay.
Who do you think was second?
Not Urlacher.
I'm going to go Hester.
No, Hester had 10.
I'm going to go Ditka.
No, Ditka was represented, but he was not the most.
Wow.
Pat Manley.
Nope, did not see a Patrick Manley.
Not Hester.
You guys are missing the obvious.
Buckus.
Buckus was represented, but not the second most.
Gale Sayers.
Buckus had 3. I saw 3 Buckus jerseys. Sayers.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, we are missing
the obvious. There were 3 Sayers jerseys.
Caleb Williams.
Correct. Caleb with 20.
Matt Walsh wearing one yesterday.
Yep.
There it is.
20 Caleb jerseys in the crowd.
Wow. Anybody dare rock a Trubisky or a Fields?
Yes. Yes.
Both?
There were 2 Fields jerseys.
Oh, that's cool.
And I saw – and this one I thought was kind of interesting, and it's just like a data point. Like, Everybody that I saw wearing, there were only two. Only two people with Trubisky jerseys.
What are they doing?
They were both women. And I'm like, is there something to that? And he's not the only former Bears quarterback that I saw. Saw two Rex Grossman jerseys.
I'm cool with that. Did you see any Kyle Ortons?
No Kyle Ortons.
All right, you saw some McMahons.
Saw Briggs. Saw Mike Brown.
Wow, Mike Brown represent.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I texted Lawrence. I saw a Top Draft Show alumnus, Izzy Adonijay jersey represented
yesterday.
Yeah, Izzy
Adonijay. There were a lot of Khalil Mack jerseys.
Yeah.
I saw three of them.
That was a very exciting acquisition for jersey sales and then a really good first week especially.
Seven Roma Dunze jerseys.
Oh, yes, a Roma. It's great. DJ Moore's?
Four DJ Moore jerseys.
Okay.
I was really like, it did, I had a moment like while I was walking on Fremont Street and I was like, oh, yeah. One McMichael jersey.
How about a Kyle Manungai?
No, there are none of those.
But you had a McMichael on Fremont.
Yeah,
that's
that
nice.
That made me feel good.
That's really
there
nice.
There was a Matt Suey jersey.
Hideki that Matsui?
That was so I got to tell you, that was the reason that I started doing the list. Because I walked and I saw someone wearing a Matt Suey jersey in Saginaw's. And I was like, I wonder how many weird jerseys there are going to be
and
here.
And there it is.
And there it is. So there's that. Now, there's one more that I have to, like, point out because it enraged me. There were two Halas jerseys. That's not what bothered me. And I texted Tanny when I saw it. What bothered me was there was one guy who had it right. He was out here at Stadium Swim wearing the number 7 Halas jersey. There was another guy that had a H-A-L-L-A-S.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, what is going on here?
Do you see another guy wearing a Paul Vallis jersey?
But only in Bridgeport. And only during election season.
Only during election
and then
season.
It's in, then it's in Orland for the rest of the time that it's there. But that just, I was like, what is, how?
Yeah.
But let me see if there's anyone else that I missed from the list. Grossman, Halas, Hampton. Adonijay, Colston Loveland.
Wow.
Yeah, had a jersey out here. The last jersey that I saw before going to bed, Julius Peppers.
Oh, I was wondering, because Peppers was a very popular one.
And
good stuff.
Urlacher, there were 11 Urlacher jerseys.
You didn't mention this guy. There was no Alex Brown, right?
I didn't see an AB. I saw an MB, but not an AB.
Do you know that yesterday was the first blocked field goal in the final minute to lead to a Bears win? Since Alex Brown blocked Mason Crosby's 38-yard attempt.
That's the hand of God after Peyton passed away, right?
I thought that was Brian Robinson.
No, you're right. That's Brian Robinson.
So this is December 22nd, 2008 at Soldier Field. And a 17-17 game. The Bears beat Green Bay that day 20-17 in overtime. So AB getting a mention in Brad Biggs' column today.
Oh, well, that's nice. We got to get AB on a little bit more. We'll have a little bit more fun. But, yeah, that's my list.
That's a great list.
I like making lists.
Yeah, you do. You and Eberflus. Yeah. You guys are tight.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
When we come back, Jason Leisure is going to walk from that cabana to this cabana.
Going to leave the green room.
And hang out with us. And thanks to everyone who is watching on Twitch. Thanks to everyone who is watching on YouTube. We really appreciate that you guys are checking out the visual part of what it is that we do as well.
Need a server around here because we're holed up in our cabana just living on bananas and blow. We need to come up with some food around these parts.
You want to really lean into Victory Chicken.
I really do. I really do.
Chicken strips here are great.
The chicken strips are outstanding.
Yeah.
Let's get that done.
All right, so we can do that, and we can ask Jason Leisure if he's hungry. That's next here on The Score.
I read this before the game today, right? This list.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.